I thank you so very much. It's a joy, as I mentioned, to be here and to tell you about our ministry, Baptist Couriers for Christ. You know, when we go over there and we see God do some great things, we don't know who over there has been praying. When we were in Łódź, Poland, in 2006, the second largest city in the country, over a million people, and at the end of the service there, we were, of course, passing out the Bibles to all the visitors that came, and the foyer area was clearing out, and there weren't very many people left, and we noticed standing to the one side, there was an elderly man, a big Polish man and his wife, and there were just, the tears were just running down his face. And, you know, I thought at first, well, maybe he'd gotten saved or, you know, had some, you know, something happened in his life that night, and we were picking up things, and my brother Ken went over, first of all, to talk to him, and he went over there and introduced himself, and the gentleman spoke for a few moments, and then he took his shirt and he pulled it up, and tattooed down here was his concentration camp number. And he said, when I was 15 years old in a Nazis-occupied Poland, he says, one-third of my city went to the ovens. And he said, those of us that were Poles, he said, we were arrested, and I was young. I was 15 years old. He said, I was taken into Germany to a concentration camp. And he said, the only reason I was spared is I stayed healthy. I stayed strong. I could work. And they used that. But he said, also, while I was in that concentration camp, he said, many Christians were run through there. And he said, interacting with those Christians, they gave me the gospel. And he says, and I got saved in that concentration camp. And he says, and immediately, he said, my heart's desire was for my family back in Łódź, in my city. And he said, and I began to pray. He says, I have not missed a day in 65 years of praying for my city. And he says, now, he says, I'm standing here tonight. And he says, and I'm witnessing God's answers to that prayer. Over 500 people packed into that auditorium that night. 47 precious Poles met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that night. And he says, and then in the city we handed out 130,000 John and Romans in that city. And he said, to have all that scripture here now in this city. He said, I've been praying so long and I thank God that I've been able now to see a little answer to my prayers. Boy, that's an awful long time to be praying for something. That'd be like working at a job for 65 years and never getting a paycheck. Oh, listen, we need to be faithful. You know, we need to pray for our country, pray for our leadership. Pray they get saved. Just think of what a change it would make in President Obama if he truly repented and believed on Jesus Christ. Just think of what it would do, you know? And the Lord can do anything. The thing is we don't ask Him. It's easier to criticize. You know, so how do you know that? I've done it. What was me? You know, isn't it a whole lot easier to criticize the president, criticize the leadership, criticize what's going on? It's a lot easier to do that than it is to pray for him. But he said we need to pray and pray one for another. You know, we're going to see a lot of things happen in our country in the near future, and let's be praying. You know, the scripture says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Listen, we need to get the Word of God into the hands of people. It is amazing in our country how we have shifted so far that there's an awful lot of homes in this country that do not have a Bible in them. They, in fact, a week ago in the USA Today, they started last week, I can't remember what day it was, but they started National Secular Day. A day that's going to be set aside now for atheists so that they cannot be persecuted. Now, the persecution they've been getting is they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. They don't want to hear that. And so what they're going to eventually do is they'll make a law, just like the gays, and you won't be able to say anything to them, or you will go to jail. Hey, the devil, he's smart. You know, he's very sly, and he just keeps working. But I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, wow, you know, when's the last time you persecuted someone who was an atheist? You feel bad for them. You feel sorry for them that they're so arrogant to think they're self-sufficient and they don't need a God. And wherever they look, you know, in this beautiful valley here, and you look at the lush beauty that's here, God made it. You see the mountains and the beauty that's there, and God made it. And you see the wildflowers that grow, and God made it. And you see the birds, and you hear the songbirds, and you see the eagles, and you watch all this. God did it, and it's something that they see every day. And yet, like our pastor always said, you can't wake up somebody who is pretending to sleep. And that's what they're doing. They're just saying, I don't see God, I don't see God, I don't see God, I don't see God, and so there must not be a God. So let's just pray. We got to keep praying and keep laboring and keep going, and we'd love to partner together to get the Word of God behind the Iron Curtain, what used to be the Iron Curtain. We've got a lot to do. Next year we'll be in Tallinn. Tallinn is a city of about 450,000 people. It's in Estonia, right up on the Baltic Sea. We're going in August. You say, why are you going in August? August, the average temperature in Tallinn hits 70 each day. And at night, down to the 40s. So, you know, they can get up to 80, 90, rarely. But you are way, way north when you get up there in Tallinn. And so we're going to go a little earlier so the weather isn't quite so brutal there when we're out working on the streets. But we'd love to have you come. We're going to be advertising it. It'll probably go on our website here within the next month or so. We'll get something up on it. We'll put it in the next newsletter that comes out. And you can be watching. We send to a pastor. He can bring it up when it comes. We haven't set a price. It'll be probably $2,500, $2,600, somewhere around in that area. And that'll cover, you say, what does it cover? It covers round trip from Chicago. We try to get everybody to Chicago. And that's a little added expense you're going to have to get to and from Chicago. But we try to get everybody there. It'll take care of all your meals. Everything is covered. You know, a lot of folks say, well, when we go on a mission trip, boy, we're going to lose weight. No. No, we feed you very well. And you say, well, what do they eat over there? Meat, potatoes, gravy, vegetables. We're European stock, aren't we? Is that where we came from? That's my mom's side, they came out of what used to be East Germany. My dad's side was a German settlement in along the Volga River in Russia. And we're all, our background is, you know, we're European. And that's what they eat. Very, very good food. You will enjoy the meals. And we take each evening, we go to a different restaurant, a different national restaurant there. So you'll get their ethnic food. You'll have that opportunity. And we even give you a day to hunt for the holy trinket. A day to shop where you can go and everybody wants to bring home something from the country. And so we set aside one day halfway through, because once you're out there working for, you know, 3.5-4 days out in the street, and you're only out there maybe 5 hours a day, but that's, you get tired. And so you need that break in there, and so we do that. But it's an exciting time, and we'd love to have you come. So be watching for that, and that'll be in August of 2016 that we're going to be there. All right, turn your Bibles this morning to a familiar passage, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And as we're turning there, I'll mention in the foyer, I set up a display. Many of you have seen that. We'll want to get this morning this propaganda, I mean this literature, we'll give it to you. This will tell you a little more about our work and how we operate and so forth. It'll give you a better background of us. And then this morning, you definitely don't want to leave here without this beautiful black and white with a splash of red in it. We want you to get this, and you probably want to put it in a frame. Put it. No, we want you to pray for us. We need you to pray. We covet your prayers. If you don't like this, I turn it over. There's more pictures on the back. But anyhow, we want you to please pray for us. We covet your prayer. When we go into those countries, we're going into Satan's playground. He controlled them for many years. The Eastern Europe he had since World War II has been under communism. They were taught there is no God. They were taught atheism. So we now have several generations that have been without God, without the Word of God. And so when you see what God does in these campaigns, it is only God Almighty touching hearts. We ask God to do something big. When we go in, you know, I think a lot of times we don't ask God for big things. You know, when it comes to getting the gospel out, I mean, God will move heaven and earth to get the Word of God to somebody. I got all kinds of stories I could tell you for hours about what God did to get the gospel just to one individual in a remote area and what He did to accomplish that. But oh, listen, we've got to say, hey, God, we need to shake the foundation of our cities with the Word of God. You know, it says in the book of Acts, it says the early church there, those early believers, it said they turned the world upside down with the gospel. Why do you think if we did that in our country? If every fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church in this country got set on fire and just did all they could to pray and work and labor and reach their cities, I mean, this country would be boom, just that quick, it would change. But we have been free for so long that we take it for granted. We've had Bibles for so long, we take them for granted. We just assume it's going to always be the way it is, and so we just kind of lay back, coasting along. And the devil and his crowd are very active. And that's why they keep pushing us back into the corner. And so let's get busy. Let's do what we can for God. This morning I want to look a little bit here at 1 Kings chapter 17 and let's just take and read verses 8, 9, and 10. And then we'll pray. And I want to go through this here. And I want to bring out a little bit in here about what real Bible giving is. And let's look at this here and see. And starting in verse 8, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we can open the book of books. And Father, as we do, I pray you'd quiet our spirit for the next few moments. And Lord, that we'd allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts through the Word of God today. And Lord, may we leave here set on fire, drawn closer to Thee. And Lord, we'll thank You, we'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the first thing I want you to see here is I want you to see Elijah. It says here in verse 5, it says, "He went and did." God told him to do something. It says, "And he went and did." You find here this widow woman. He says, it says here that the Lord, he said, "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And it says in verse 10, the widow woman was there. I thank God that you are here this morning. You where God expects you to be. When you're a child of God, He wants you to be there in the house of God so you can hear the Word of God, so you can fellowship together, you can pray together, you can grow together and mature as a child of God. And I think a lot of times people just aren't there where they need to be. Now watch, now here he is, here Elijah is, and God told him the first part of the chapter there to go to the brook Cherith. So he gets there, and look what happens. Verse 7. It says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain." Now, here he is. He went where God wanted him to be, and the brook dried up. Has your brook ever dried up? I mean, you think, man, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden you lose your job. You got to hunt for something else. Or, I mean, you're doing what you think you should be doing, and all of a sudden, wham, there's a big financial setback. Something happened in the house, or maybe the furnace went out, or maybe the car engine had trouble, or a big financial setback, and all of a sudden your brook dries up. Well, what do? Just like he did and what she did, they stayed there. You stay faithful. You just stay in that position. You just hang in there because something better is coming. Just stay there. Just hang in there as a child of God. You know, we read in the Scriptures, you know, about those that the early church and the early ones where it says, and they were, some of them were thrown to the lions and others were martyred. And we read this kind of stuff, but we just kind of read it. But put yourself in that position. Here they were. They were going, doing what God told them to do. Where they're out there preaching the gospel. They're out there reaching people. They're out there building churches. The next thing they know, they're killed. You say, oh, what a waste. No, something a whole lot better came for them. Boom, they opened their eyes and they were with Jesus. And listen, just hang in there. You got to have, we used to say you got to have grit in your gizzard. And those of you that have been around a while, you know what that means. You know, with a chicken, they got to have some grit in their gizzard to grind up the food. And so that's why you see them out alongside of the road where they're picking up those little pebbles, you know, and they got to put some, we got to have grit in our gizzard. We got to have some intestinal fortitude to just stand. You know, we're in a day and age where you're going to have an onslaught against you. But listen, we've read the last chapter. We know what the outcome's going to be. And listen, we need to try to bring some with us. Try to reach them. Bring them to Christ. Get them the gospel. Now we're going to look at this. We're going to look at what real Bible giving is. Number one, real Bible giving is God's way He has chosen to sustain His work. Now notice here in verse number 9, He says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The whole idea here was there was the man of God, Elijah. He needed someone to take care of him. And God said, I'm going to use this widow woman. He says, she's going to be there and she's going to sustain thee. I want you to know when God guides, He provides. Well, how does He provide? He provides through the local New Testament church. Look it over in Philippians once, Philippians chapter 4. And you get down in verse number 15 and 16 and it says this. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now watch here. Here this church here, and the Philippian church saw that Paul had a need as he was going out and he was preaching. And so they said, we're going to send him some help. And notice it said, this was the only church that did it. But you notice it wasn't a one-time thing. It says, and then they did it again. And you know, when we look at the world, when we get involved in missions, I wish we could say we could just go one time and all the world would be reached. But we got to be involved again and again and again and again until everyone has at least an opportunity to hear the gospel. Just think if you'd have been born in Prague or born in Łódź or born in St. Petersburg or born in Samara, or Astrakhan. Just think if you'd have been born there. And you'd be waiting for somebody to get the gospel to you. And listen, you've had the privilege to be here. I mean, the gospel is ever. You can turn on a radio and just start sifting through the stations and bang, all of a sudden you're going to find one that's, you know, maybe it's not totally fundamental. Most of them aren't. But they're getting the gospel out. You go down, we drive down the highways, and all of a sudden there'll be a big billboard up. Jesus saves. Or there'll be a Bible verse or whatever. I mean, you have opportunities here. And just think if you were there. And listen, and Paul was going to those type of countries and those type of people and those type of cities. They needed to hear. And listen, we need to get the gospel out here and abroad. And we got to go again and again and again. You know, some folks say, well, I can't give. You know, Lester Roloff said this. He said, you got to kill can't and beat the fire out of could until it does it. That's the way it is. I mean, that's what it takes. Because if you give yourself any leeway, you're not going to do it. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, I could do that. Or, you know, I think I could do that. Well, start beating. Say, I got to beat that could until it does it. And gets involved. And so listen, God has used this way. He says giving, biblical giving, is God's way of getting His work done. You know, God could have just said, okay, for your church here, you're renting this building. God could just reach down and lay in the church here $1 million when you come in next Sunday, and there's $1 million to go buy land and build a building and do all that. How much faith would that take on your part? Zero. God says, I want you to have faith in me that I can and will provide. Guess how? Through you. That's what he's looking to do. And he wants to accomplish that. You know, real Bible giving, there's never a right time to begin it. There isn't. There is not a right time to begin it. Look at here in verse number 12 in our text. It says, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, you talk about somebody that's having a rough time. You know, she said, just a little handful of meal. It didn't say hands full, a handful. Enough for a couple of biscuits. And she said, I'm going to make this and I'm going to die. You know, if you read in the Macedonian churches over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, and in their deep poverty. It says they were in deep poverty and they began to give. You know, one of the hardest things that missionaries have had to try to educate those folks in many foreign countries is to give. And you say, why is this so hard for them? Because they're in deep poverty. I know Brother Brian Nibby with his church there. You saw that church building. That's pretty magnificent, isn't it? All paid for by Romanian money. And it's paid for. See, how did he get them to... He said, I tried teaching. I tried encouraging them. I tried doing everything I could. So finally, he said, I started going to house to house with my church folks. And I sat down and began to just explain to them that you got to give 10% of your income back to God. He requires that. And so finally, he just wasn't getting anywhere, you know. And finally, he told one of the ladies in the church, he said, tell you what. He said, for the next 3 months, you tithe. He says, don't you lie about it. He says, you give 10% of your income. You put it in for the next 3 months. And he says, and let's see what God does. And he says, and if God doesn't do anything for you, I will take out of my own pocket and pay you back that 10% of your income that you put in. And so, that was a win-win situation for her. So she started tithing. And God, I wish I could tell you everything that God did for her in the next 3 months. It was miraculous. And I mean, she got so excited and we're telling testimonies every week of what God was doing because she was given just the 10% of what she had. And that 10% began to grow because God was bringing in more and she was given more because she had to give 10%. And she just began to go and she was telling people, listen, this is what God's doing. And all of a sudden the church folk began to get excited and say, hey, if God can do that with her, she was one of the poorest people in the church, he can do something with me. And they began to tithe. And he says, we've got all the money we need to minister in our church. Well, listen, people just got to be willing to say, I'll do what God tells me to do. And you say, so you find real Bible giving, there's not a good time to start it. It's never, you know, the Macedonian people, they didn't wait for times to get better. No, they started right now. That's when you start. Real Bible giving is always asked for by the man of God. Look at chapter, back in our Kings here, look at down in verse 10, the last part of that verse. Elijah says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Look at the last part of verse 11. He says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, why did he say two different things? You know, when you read in the Bible, many times the Bible says tithes and offerings, tithes and offerings. Many times they're tied together. I guess you could call the water vessel there being a tithe. The bread in the hand was over and above. That was harder to give. And he says, and a little bread. So here he asked him. Now, how in the world could he ask this of this poor widow woman? How could he have the audacity to do that? Because of verse number 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. So when he showed up, he had the word of God to give to her. And you notice he said in verse 13, he says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Listen, Christian, we have to prioritize our giving. We have to put God into the center of our life. He has to be there. We got to give God, notice he said, first place. See, you probably saw, I can't remember who wrote it, but the book where that the guy says, God is my co-pilot. That sounds good, but God better be the pilot. He's in charge. I think a lot of us, we drive like Jehu. We drive furiously and we're in charge, you know, and instead of letting God be in charge of our life, we've got to allow Him first place. And when we allow Him first place, He'll be in first place in our giving. Oh, listen, this is so important. Now, when Elijah came to her and he asked this of her, was this a surprise to her? No. You say, well, why wasn't it a surprise? Because it says in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Watch this. This is God speaking to Elijah. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God had already spoke to her heart. She knew somebody was going to be coming. She just kept on living. And all of a sudden he showed up. Here he was. So when he said to her, listen, I'm here, make me a cake first. It wasn't a shock to her. It wasn't something that was a surprise. You know, we talk about giving. It's no surprise to you. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. You find where they gave and gave and gave and gave where it was required of them. And God came through and God blessed. Bible giving always sounds hard. It always sounds hard. You know, look at verse 14. It says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Listen, there had been no rain. They were in the middle of a drought. She just had a little meal and a little oil. I mean, all this looked impossible for her to give of her little meager sustenance to give first to this man of God. I mean, this looked just the most improbable thing that there could possibly be. Many times when God asks you to do something, you're going to look at it and say, God, I can't. I can't. Remember Lester Roloff? Kill can't. Kill it. I remember a little bunny trail. I remember when I was about 10 years old, 9, 10 years old, I was trying to learn to ride a bike. You say, well, what's so hard about that at that age? Because it's a full man's 26-inch bike. And when you're that age, you can't reach the pedals when you stand all the way down. But we'd put it up on the porch, and I'd get on it, and my brother would take it and kind of bounce it, and he'd give me a shove. And I'd go from here maybe to the back, and crash, I'd go down. Oh, man. And he'd get up here again. And I'd get back up there. I'd say, I can't. And he'd say, get on it. And he'd get on. He'd push me off again, and I'd keep saying, I can't. And he said, there's no such thing as can't. And it didn't take me long, and I was riding that bike. But oh, listen, a lot of times we look at it like, well, I just can't. I can't do this. No, it sounds hard. But let's put God first. Let's let Him put it in His equation. You know, if you looked in 2 Corinthians there, where Paul was teaching the Corinthian church on giving in chapter 8 and chapter 9, and in chapter 9 and verse 13, Paul called that missions giving an experiment. You read it. It's right there. It's an experiment. You don't know what God's going to do. All you know, He's going to do something. That's all you know. He promised you that. You know, real Bible giving always sounds like sacrifice. It always sounds like sacrifice. You know, here when he asked in verse number 12, he said, make a little cake for me first, and in his request, and it really sounded like sacrifice. Let me ask you this. Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Is that true? Yes. Yeah. Well, if that be true, it's very hard for us to say then we're going to be giving sacrificially. Because maybe our first gift will be a sacrifice, but God says, you do that and I'll take care of you. He may do it in ways you don't even realize. You go out and get in that old clunker of car that you're taking to work every day, and you know the starter's not good. You hit it, and it, you know how it is where the Bendix drive doesn't throw it in all the way, and she kind of, you know, and you hit it a few times, and all of a sudden it goes in, and you've been praying, saying, "Oh God, I got to get to work." Except, don't quit now. We got to get to work, and I just don't have the bucks yet to fix it. And your guardian angel's leaning on the car, and he looks up at the Lord, and the Lord says, "They're tithing. They're doing what's right before me. Kick it." It starts up. And away you go. You say, "Oh, that doesn't happen." Oh, yes, it does. God takes care of you when you're being faithful to Him in so many areas of your life that you don't even realize it. You just take it for granted. There are times He protects you where you could be in a horrific car accident, but miraculously you come out of it unscathed. There's times where things could have happened where a grandkid will fall out of a tree and could have been impaled on a stake down below, and God protects, and on and on and on. There's things that happen that you don't even realize. You do what's right before God, and I'll tell you, He'll take care of you. And when something does happen, there's a purpose for it. Like we just had a fellow I know that ended up in the hospital and ended up there, and he ended up leading the doctor and a couple of nurses to Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't know. And Bible giving always has a promise with it. You know, he said to her, he said, "You know, make me a little cake first, then make for you." Remember, she just had a handful. Now, how many biscuits can you make with a handful of meal? You're already going to see a miracle, because the time she made a biscuit for him, there wasn't enough left to make a biscuit for her son and a biscuit for her. But yet, miraculously, there was. Listen, you put God first. God says, "You put me first," is what he told this widow woman. He says, "You won't have to worry about yourself and your son." He says, "I'll take care of you." He says, "I'll take care of you." You know, real Bible giving can only be obeyed through faith. Through faith. You're just going to trust God. You just got to trust God. You know, this widow woman, she already knew that the barrel and cruse had failed. She knew that. She was down to the last. She was going to mix the last because it was empty. It was gone. She knew it had already failed. You know, if she would have been a Christian woman of today, and God would ask to do something like that, we'd have to jump on the computer and Google this thing and see, you know, now how can this possibly be? You know, how is there, this barrel of meal is empty and this cruse of oil is empty, and if I take everything out of here, well, there's got to be some scientific explanation as to how this is going to fill up again and how this is going to fill up again, and we got to figure this all out. It's all got to be A, B, C, D, E for us today. We don't know what it is to walk by faith. We really don't. You know, we got every base covered. We've got our insurance funds. We've got our car insurance. We've got our health insurance. We've got our securities. We've got our savings. We've got, I mean, all kinds of things. We got our fridges are filled with food. Our freezers got food in them. We have our gardens. How often do we have to trust God? And then the sad part is so many times when something does go a little bit wrong, instead of saying, "God, what do you have next?" we say, "Oh God, why me? Why not me? Do I have a gold star chart that I'm supposed to get a gold star everywhere on my chart, but yet around the world there's all kinds of them that don't even have a chart?" Well, listen. There's not one thing that happens to you in your life that our God Almighty is not in control of. And many times the things that happen in our lives is our own fault, because we do it without talking to Him. And we wonder why we get in trouble. And then He says, "Okay." It's kind of like your kid. You tell him, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." I remember my son Josh, he was 5, 6 years old, and I was building a swing set in the back for him, and I built a fort up there, and I'd laid down the boards, they hadn't been nailed down yet, on the flooring. And my wife called, it was time for supper. Now maybe it's dinner, but supper on the world. Anyway, she called me in for supper, and I told my son Josh, I said, "Now, Josh, you got to come on in and stay off those boards." Well, I went in and I washed up, and all of a sudden he's just bawling and wailing away, and what happened to you? Well, I fell through the boards. And this is what I told him, the loving, compassionate dad. Do it again. That's what I told him. I said, I told you once, stay off. You stay off. You disobeyed. Go do it again if you want to see how good it is. He didn't do it again. And he remembered that. And the next time I told him don't do something, he didn't do it. You know, I think sometimes God says that to us. We don't ask him about something, we just go ahead and do it anyhow. And then we're, oh God, what's going on? God, what's going on? And God's saying, you didn't ask me, go and do it again. Have at it. You know? He said, God would do that? Oh yes. We're made in his image. You know, he's a God of love, but he's a just God. You know? And oh, listen, he says, listen, you know, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. We got to, you know, I think in our day and age, we're guilty of reason giving. We got to reason it out instead of faith giving. You know, a lot of times when it comes to our giving, you know, before we go above and beyond, we got to go and talk to George about it. You say, talk to George about it? Yeah, the dollar. You know, we got to go talk to George and say, okay, George, what should we do? Listen, we don't need to talk to George. We need to talk to God. That's who we got to talk to. Say, God, what should we do? You know, and let God deal with us. You know, and then real Bible giving is never ever disappointing. You notice what it says, and she and he and her son ate. It says for many days. I don't know how many days is, but it's many days. You know, we got 5 senses: taste, touch, smell, see, hearing. When you got saved, none of those senses did one thing for you. You had to by faith. You couldn't smell God. You couldn't see God. You couldn't touch God. You couldn't hear God. I mean, here, none of these things. You had to by faith. That's the way it is when it comes to us in giving. You know, we always look for the physical. We got to see something. That's not faith. Faith is you obey God. Yes. You step out. Listen, when we take 35 people into a foreign country, don't think for one minute that doesn't weigh heavy on me. I'm responsible for 35 people when we bring them in. And you know what the devil tries to do? The devil tries to whisper in my ear and say, something's going to happen. Something's going to take place. And I have to get down and say, oh God, cast out that fear. And God, we're going because you asked us to go. They're coming because you touched their heart and they want to go to that mission field. God, it's all of you. And God, if you don't take care of us, we might as well go right back home. But don't think for a moment that the devil doesn't sit there and try to discourage and try to beat you down. And he does the same thing to you. But when it comes to giving, listen, you just got to do it. You see, God's arithmetic is much different than ours. You know, he says, if you keep, you will lose. Now, that doesn't make sense. You know, in our mind, you know, the way we get is we got to get and we got to keep and we got to store and we got to put it aside and we got to, you know, then you got something. God says, no, that's not the way it works with me. He says, if you hold on to it, I'm going to diminish the supply. But then he says this, if you divide it, he says, I will multiply it. He said, if you scatter it, I'll increase it. You see, the Christian life is this. That's the Christian life. The world's life is this. Get it? We're to give. Give of our time. Give of our talent. give of our abilities, give of our resources. That's what we're to be doing. Where we're at, wherever we're at, there's always opportunities to help somebody. And the greatest help we can do is give them the gospel. It's giving. It's us giving. We've got to be willing to do that. And then I want you to know the final thing is real Bible giving always goes beyond mere possessions. Now we look at this lady. We find, first of all, here is Elijah. He goes to the brook. The brook dries up. So God sends him to this widow woman. He's there many days. And God sustains him through it. It rains. It looks like everything's going great. Guess what happens to this dear lady? Very next thing, her son dies. You get down here. I mean, here's verse 17. This is what happened. He fell sick. The sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now here she's doing right. And the brook dries up again. Then what happens? Well, it gets down in verse number 22. And he revives. God came through again. God took care. There was death. Now there's life. When you think of us, first there was death. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Then there's life. And you hath He quickened, made alive. When we get saved, He makes us alive in Him. You know, a lot of times we don't like to think about it, but all the lost people around out here, all of them are dead. It's kind of ironic that the devil comes up with a show of the walking dead. I've seen advertisements of that thing, a horrid, horrid thing. Technically, all lost people that are walking around here, they are spiritually dead. And when they close their eyes in death, boom, they're gone to hell just that quick. We don't like to think that. When we go through the grocery checkout and the sweet little checkout girl's over there and you're giving money to her, if she's not a born-again child of God, she is dead in her trespasses and sins. You go to the bank and the bank teller's there and you might have known them for years, but if they're not a child of God, they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Listen, when we talk about Bible giving, we talk about missions giving, this is no trite thing. This is the heartbeat of God. Is missions. You are a mission. You're on a mission field. You are reached with the gospel. Thank God for that. But now we got to go further with the gospel of Jesus Christ and take it beyond us so someone else who is on this mission field can hear about Christ and be gloriously saved and brought into the local New Testament church and be made alive by the living God. But it's up to us. There's eternal souls weighing in the balance. So let's be faithful. You say, well, Brother Don, this is hard to hear and hard to take. It'll be a whole lot harder at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. If we kneel down there in front of Him and He reviews our life, we're going to be judged in front of Christ. But I tell you, it's going to be a sad day if He looks at our missions giving and He looks at our tithing and we spent more on dog food than we gave to missions. Isn't that going to be kind of embarrassing? Listen, let's do what's right for God. He always comes through. He blesses. I was telling Pastor last night, I said, before I came on this, I've been out here about 10 days now and this year, and prior to that, there were several tragedies in our area where brothers in Christ and stuff had things that happened, and God touched my heart to give to these different things. And man, we're giving money here. And I was saying, Lord, you know, what's going on here, you know. But I'll tell you, God has done stuff in the last few days I can't hardly believe. It's just God. God bringing it back through. Let's trust Him. Let's do what's right before Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love to us. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of serving You, serving a living God that we know is alive. And Lord, we know His book is real. And God, this book is alive today as it was, God, when You breathed it years and years gone by. And Father, I just pray You'd help us to just be obedient. Help us today, God, to just relive in our mind those dear people in Romania coming to get the Word of God and how happy they were to have the privilege. And God, that we can see the same thing right in this area, people without You, to see that joy as they come to Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Draw us closer to You. And Lord, we'll give You the praise for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, would you come?